here. We're sparring.
Who are you going to spar with when Ned goes off to the Eyrie?
It is time to go.
Please, a little longer.
Jon Snow is alive.
Jon Snow lives.
What is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die.
Thank you, Zach.
The rises. You know, it's customary on this podcast to repeat it back when it's said out loud.
I know. Zach was the only one. Eric, I'm massively disappointed in you, given your affinity for the Greyjoy family.
Guys, I am the storm.
I am the storm, brother.
I don't need to recite. Okay, I know the words.
Are you the storm that knocked out my power?
Welcome to Game of Owns. How many times have you watched Home?
Three.
At least three or four,
yeah,
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I just want to remind everyone that we are recording the second part to that episode, the one where Jon Snow came back from the dead and we got to see young Hodor and young Ned and young Lyanna and young Benjen Stark hanging out in Winterfell.
I feel like we haven't stopped recording because it's all I've been thinking about since Sunday evening, and now it is Wednesday, and I haven't pretty much thought about nothing else.
We're joined in the studio today by my direwolf, Strike. He's not talking today.
Oh, I was going to say, that a boy, Strike.
I was going to say, I couldn't agree more.
Strike actually makes all the best points.
He is a big fan of this episode. Ghost got some serious screen time, a nice medium shot, and what some of our listeners and readers think was a part in John's resurrection. We asked three questions, like we've done for the past few weeks. And there have been over, I think there's something like 350 responses right now on Watches on the Wall. You guys have come out in full force. There are a lot of feelings. Everyone is feeling it. The emotions are, I don't know how much higher they can get. We're on episode 2 of season 6, people.
What a whirlwind this season is. We all know what might or might not happen, but probably might happen in next week's episode from the preview and from otherwise. So
that was cryptic.
I just think,
tell us how you feel.
Hey guys, we saw a little bit of Lyanna Stark tonight, and I think that was probably a reminder for some reason. So, you know, it's going to be every episode is going to be this way, and I love it. And every Owns episode, fortunately, will continue to benefit from the endless creativity and hilarity of your Owns, which have been sent to us, like clockwork.
But Eric, I think you were leading us in the direction of not only talking about John being back, but Lyanna, her introduction at the start of this episode. Zach, you talked about being back in Winterfell, but really setting the tone for what is to come in episode 3 with the Tower of Joy. And if we just take a step back here, and I know we're kind of jumping around to the different questions that were posed, but that's what we do. We're going to tie it all together. It's just going to be one big question at the end of the day and hopefully one big answer. But this is a huge episode because potentially revealing a long-standing theory that has been debated for many, 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 many moons.
20 years.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I've been thinking about constantly over the last couple of days is the fact that Jon Snow coming back to life is something that's been a theory for not quite as long as R plus L equals J. But to have that revealed on the TV show, possibly next week, possibly in a couple episodes, that's just kind of wild, right? I mean, we've spent all this time discussing and debating and honestly kind of taking it as gospel truth. And now we're going to find, at least for me, we're going to find out the answer.
And this resurrection almost had to happen for that to have any weight, right? I mean, for me, like, basically, if the episode had ended with John still on the, I want to say slab, but still dead, if it had just ended with him still dead, the resuscitation attempt, the prayer failed and did not revive him, and then next week we find out who he really was, what his lineage really was, and then it's been a secret, that would suck, right? I mean, it would just have such less weight to it, because obviously, who he really is tied in as much into his future as it is the past. So,
man.
I think it's essentially story beats, just like we got to see Lyanna as a younger version of what I expect to see next time on this episode. It's the same thing as like bringing Jon Snow back. Boom, there's that. Now we can talk about, because he's back, now we can talk about who he really is, because that's, you know, they brought Bran around, all the other storylines have caught up to a point where we as the audience are being treated to this, or it's time for us to really learn and see how that shapes the storytelling going forward.
This is the most exciting part for me. We know that flashbacks aren't a device that the showrunners were interested in integrating into the show in the first place. So it already going back and seeing Lyanna or seeing the Tower of Joy, that's already a strike against the thought of that happening. As soon as we found out that that was going to happen, we got, you know, very, very, very excited. But the way that it was captured, the way that it was presented in the episode so early, so prominently integrated into Bran's first scene in a season, the fact that he was absent, just sort of aggrandizing it even further, and the way the dramatics were sort of piped into his small exchange with Hodor directly after moving out of the scene in episode 2 of season 6, I think is a great indicator for its importance and for the kind of Game of Thrones that we'll be getting from this point forward. The fact that Lyanna Stark, Ned Stark, Benjen Stark, what happens at the Tower of Joy, the fact that it was important enough to be made into the show, a show where so much has had to been removed.
It was less
because
important.
It's a limited space. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just there's so much to capture in this book series. The fact that this has been included so prominently as that's so
and
exciting.
So early on,
so
in the
exciting.
Season. I mean, this could be. This kind of stuff could be a climax of another season. You know what I mean? This could be what we've
That's
been building
a good point.
Towards.
Yeah.
They could have just not put it in the TV show.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
They could have still made Jon come back, still be a hero. But the fact that this made it into the TV show, it's like, yes.
On episode 2
yes!
of this season.
This is what people wanted, you know? This is what this is.
I think it just represents their commitment, David and Dan's commitment to adapting these stories and telling as much of it as they can. Like, they could have ignored this, but they certainly didn't, and they won't. And I think everybody's going to be pretty pleased, not to talk about episode 3 already, but I'm sure it's going to be along the same lines of this. Just balls to the wall, Tyrion letting dragons loose, people dying, getting eaten by dogs, and smashed against walls. It's just going to be...
Typical Game of Thrones.
Right. Typical episode. Game of Thrones. How are we consistently surprised by this show in such a positive, overwhelming, like, oh my God, way? That's what this show's about, doing that to us. So,
but wasn't it, Zach, you said on the last episode that, was it Winterfell who made the tweet about how this episode was almost an homage to the fans?
Yeah.
And I really feel like not only this episode, but next episode as well, because the potential of this reveal, which has been a long-standing theory. It's been around, you said it, for 20 years. People who have read the books have wanted this answer, and I don't know that all of them are actually going to look to tune in to this episode to watch, because once it's out there, that's it. I mean,
the same can be said. I don't think we're giving enough weight to the fact that the cliffhanger from A Dance with Dragons, Jon Snow's fate has been answered.
Right.
No, totally.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's crazy. What I think was meant by being, you know, fan fodder, essentially. You're in this episode, you're bringing back a character who for over the last several years has been thought to potentially be inside of his direwolf, to potentially be dead, to being brought back to life, and you know, all these different theories that have been out there, and I'm sure there's 50 different variations of everything that I just said, and there's still a chance that some form of those different theories could take shape in the book. Remember, they just, in my mind, they went to the extreme. Like, they just said, we're going to bring him back, and there's no time where he's going to separate and go off into ghost, because we know at the end of that chapter in A Dance with Dragons, his last word is ghost. So the biggest theory, I think, and Hannah and Zach, you've both read this now, tell me if you think I'm wrong, but would be that he, in fact, is going to spend time inside of Ghost, also given the prologue with Varamyr Sixskins and how that all played itself out. We've already read that in our read-through, in our on-season, where we go through the books. I don't think that it's by accident that George puts his prologues and those characters into the story the way that he does. They serve a purpose later on, if not directly, indirectly. And I think that had a lot to do with Jon and Ghost and how that's going to play out into the Winds of Winter.
I think that you're totally right. And I think that something like John warging it to Ghost, in my mind, and I think that some people will disagree with me, and I've heard people disagree with me, John warging it to Ghost in the show is not a possibility, or as strong of a possibility, because there's not really the precedent for it. And we haven't really seen that with him. But, you know, after finished reading the book, that was my initial thought there. So I think that that also just goes to show how we can still learn these things like John coming back to life in the show, but still enjoy them when we read them in the book as well, because it's going to be two different and equally fulfilling things.
So do you guys feel like it is fan service? Because I'll bet that part of the indecision to reach back into the history, to flash back into the past, was a little bit of fear that the huge part of their audience that aren't obsessive or a large part of their audience that don't read the series, like, maybe wouldn't appreciate it because they want to be in the middle of the action that's happening right there.
I can actually really understand that, and I think it's a good question. I also think that we're used to, as a general TV audience, we're used to getting some, you know, flashbacks have been popularized. We're used to seeing the characters taken away from the current time and space, if only for a brief, you know, thing. Maybe it's not a whole plot device for seasons on end like Lost, but, you know, I think we're familiar enough with what is happening when we're seeing that, that when used sparingly or when used with the same level of heart and detail, it isn't as jarring as it can be. I think, I still think ultimately they're right to sort of shy away from it, to not heavily rely on it. It's the whole reason we don't have, and haven't had for seasons, a cast of young Ned, young Robert. You know, every time in the books when they go into the past, that's not what's happening in the TV series. Mm-hmm. You know, there aren't these flashbacks every episode. It's used sparingly and, shall I say, caringly.
I don't think it's necessarily fan service. I think we're getting to the point in this series where certain things are going to have to be revealed that fans of the book have waited for a long period of time. So it's just getting to that juncture. And maybe in this particular episode, so many of those things just happened to come to a head at one time. So you had John's resurrection, you had the flashback with Lyanna and the other members of the Stark family, Hodor, Tyrion snuggling up with a bunch of dragons. You know, there were a lot of those types of moments where, as a fan who's read the series, you've been waiting for that. But I also feel that they wouldn't do that unless it was essential to move the plot forward. And it's interesting to me how they're going to use Bran as that kind of vehicle, especially now as it seems it relates to John and his story. And these things just had to kind of come together and work, because in order to tell Bran's story, I feel like John had to come back. And so that's why we are where we are right now.
I hope that moving forward, those who create the show take in and absorb the critically positive reaction that we saw the entire internet take to the moment we got to look into the past. I was having a conversation with my mom a few days ago. It was like a day or so after the episode aired. And the first thing she wrote to me after we were talking about normal stuff was just Jon Snow. And then so we talked about that for a bit. But the first, I mean, obviously that's the first place casual fans are going to go, is Jon Snow is back. I mean, it's the cover of Entertainment Weekly, and there's lots of articles and lots of discussion from him and Carice and Liam and just a ton of people. And it's very exciting. And obviously it's the first thing we talked about and we're excited. But the first thing that she went to after the Jon Snow bit was, and Hodor, he spoke. A character that's been gone for over a season, a casual fan, like she was like, I love that. I loved that scene.
What you talking about, Willis?
I got so excited hearing that and thinking about what or how even casual fans, you know, are gravitating toward these moments that are really steeped in what makes the book series so deep and rich. You know, the way George writes and how he constantly calls onto the past. Tolkien does it as well to aggrandize the present. And it's not widely done in serials adapted to television because it's very difficult to do. And it's not really marketable, you know. But the difference here is this is a private cable network. Right. That you have a paid cable network, and they're already going to make this show for as many seasons as it'll go. So I feel like these decisions were probably not planned for early on when the show was, I don't want to say less successful, but didn't have a ton of Emmys. And so I don't want to call them risks, but calculated decisions were made, and they obviously enriched the story that's happening so much, and they've gone over so well. And I guarantee that the Tower of Joy, when people understand that that's Ned Stark from the first season as a younger guy fighting, and in this is like the moments of Robert's Rebellion, even though that's not even tied to Jon Snow, I just hope that people are so excited about it, because that is going to be so badass seeing young Ned Stark fight. It's just going to be
totally
too much.
I think people will be excited.
I was very much like your mom, and I had the same kind of reaction on my face that Bran had when he turned and saw Hodor. Like, I was like, I thought to myself, I'm like, whoa, that's Hodor. Like, you know, like you don't get those types of moments necessarily when I've been seeing seasons past and I have the context of what's to come. And I just like being back in that place where you can be surprised from one moment to the next because you don't know what's coming.
Well, we have arguably the most important seasons ahead of us. And like I said, I hope that the creators of the show aren't afraid to get a little nerdy, because I think that it's part of what make people love the show, even if they don't know it. I think that it's important.
I agree.
Do we want to talk about Hodor? He's still such a big mystery to so many, but did what we learned in this episode give us any sort of idea as to who he might be or what his story is all about, and the fact that he interacted with Ned and Benjen and Lyanna when they were young kids?
I did see, I can't remember his name, who plays young Hodor, tweeted about how he's got
Sam
more
Coleman.
Scenes. And so at first I was like, oh no, like what if this is all that we see and we don't get the answers? But I'm excited to see him and maybe start to get more answers to what happened to him. Why did he stop speaking and can only say Hodor, and kind of exactly what's his interactions with Ned and all that crew there. So I'm excited that we'll get to see more.
Why is the Raven taking him to this? Why is that what he saw? You know, it's almost as though the Three-Eyed Raven is introducing Bran to this mystery of Hodor's actual heritage. Because Lyanna and Benjen and Ned were there, but again, it kind of turned towards this is going to be a thing about Hodor now. It's almost as though he's teaching Bran how to properly unwrap a mystery using. He knows where to look. So the Three-Eyed Raven's had his eyes on Winterfell for a long time. And you know what? Like, that was actually really cool of a throwback, because obviously Bran was seeing the Three-Eyed Raven in Winterfell for quite some time. So the fact that Winterfell is the first place that they visit that we see is also kind of a nice throwback in and of itself.
We saw Willis interact directly with Lyanna, and we saw Jon Snow resurrect in that episode. And we all know about Rhaegar plus Lyanna equals Jon. And we know that the Tower of Joy is coming next week. All this is a bit coincidental, don't you think, guys?
Funny right? How that works out. I am interested to see, and I think there's been some debate in the comments on Watchers on this post that we created about whether or not we're going to get answers to R plus L equals J in next week's episode, or if we're going to kind of start to build on that and just see glimpses of the Tower of Joy and then get answers, more concrete answers, in a couple episodes down the road. And so I'm wondering what that's going to look like.
Should we just skip to question number 3 and then circle back to the other ones, guys?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
We asked the audience this question.
So the question we asked is, what will happen in the Tower of Joy? Is it possible that a mystery born in 1996 could be revealed this Sunday?
Yes.
What will happen?
Short,
yes.
Sweet, to the point.
Oh, is it possible? Yes. Micah really thought out his answer. He pondered.
Mm-hmm. I think it's possible. There's this one post that I liked. Kamali on Watchers says, this is paraphrasing what they posted, that Bran's going to see some Tower of Joy in this episode, and says, but will decide to revisit the rest on his own. I think that backs up some questions I have about how much emphasis put on Bran thinking the visions were too short. So what they're saying is that we're going to see a glimpse of it, and you know, maybe some of the battle sequence it'll be cut off, and then Bran getting cocky and going back on his own to kind of learn the rest of what was happening, because we saw in this episode and we've heard before that if you spend too long under, it's not good, essentially. And so I'm wondering, because there was an emphasis on that, if that's going to be an issue with Bran going forward. And we know that this is a topic that he likes. And so I can see him kind of getting into some trouble or trying to go back on his own or trying to draw this out down the road, possibly.
I can totally see that happening. And what does it do to the viewers? Like, do we get upset if we just have a tease of the Tower of Joy, like everything we've seen from the preview, like if it's actually not revealed in this episode? But as you said, Hannah, prior to reading that comment and even afterwards, what if it's, you know, spread across the next 4 or 5 episodes? Does that change how we feel about the show showing it at all? Would we prefer to have it in one big chunk, or would we prefer to have it broken up? I will say that if it's something where Bran goes back and finds out more and has like the initiative, then I actually like the parallel that draws with what Arya's up to, that these two siblings are learning something completely outside themselves, completely different. But they're being tutored almost in a real hands-on way, which is, I'm going to leave you here, you know, and you're going to figure out what to do. Currently, we haven't seen that with the Three-Eyed Raven. He takes him with him on these journeys and sort of points where they have to look. But what if there is a point where Bran is sort of on his own? And it was at least foreshadowed in episode 2 that he's going to be doing, you know, journeys, presumably that are not involving the safety of that weirwood tree.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking with the Night's King.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there were seeds of rebellion planted between Bran and the Three-Eyed Raven and this episode. And I think that it might come to a head. Like maybe he sort of accidentally wargs right into, I don't want to say the Ice Palace, but wherever he is. And then it's right. Like, oh shit.
All or he's not paying attention. Or... you could go to, and all of a sudden, whoops, there I am.
Like he's like running from him or something.
Yeah.
You know?
I just think that Bran, we've seen before him do semi-problematic things. And we've talked about this while reading the book with him working at Hodor and kind of his attitude about all of that. And so it just makes me wonder, you know, is he going to get into some gray area and run into the Night's King or something like that?
Well, like Arya, accident. You know, sometimes you break the rules. They're kids. That's what they do.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The consequences are just far worse for breaking the rules in this realm.
You run into the Night's King and Loki, like it's everything the is King. The end of the world ends tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So do you guys think it'll be split?
I did like the idea, though, of what was said about how Bran, you know, could have that curiosity in terms of, you know, we saw how attached he was when he saw Ned and he saw Lyanna and Benjen, his family, and Hodor, of course.
And Roderick's beautiful mutton chops.
So I do think that maybe if he doesn't get to see in full what takes place, that he will adventure to maybe find which branch to attach himself to and figure out the rest of the story. But to me, as sort of, if I were a casual viewer, I would probably want it to happen in one episode.
Really?
Because there's only so much that you could do with the Tower of Joy unless it's the fighting and they are able to get inside the tower and they find Lyanna and it cuts. And then you don't go there until 2 or 3 episodes later. I just don't know how much you could actually do with that scene.
I think that's a good point, but I was also wondering if the opposite would be true in the sense of casual viewers, which are there even casual viewers anymore? Yes.
That's what I was thinking. When I was saying it earlier, I was like,
because anybody who's still in it at this point is in it to win it. But
where have all the casual viewers gone?
People who haven't read the books or aren't as familiar with the book story may appreciate more of a setup to this big reveal.
I don't know. They move so fast, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough to say. Well, I went through the 300 something comments earlier, and for all of these questions and all the different answers, sort of tallied your responses, and I didn't quite get as exact as House Potter's, because sometimes you guys said something that was sort of half and half. So I'll comfortably say that it is almost a 50-50 split between people if they think we're going to get all of the Tower of Joy in one episode or split between a few episodes.
Yeah.
So
I'm
going to say that you'll get all of it next episode.
I think so too. It just doesn't seem their style to drag something like that out.
Right.
There's so much other stuff to cover.
John was only dead for an episode in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it just feels like the pacing, about that. Right?
It's 2 days. Yeah, 2 days like time.
The pacing, though, for this season is a lot quicker, isn't it?
So far.
Yeah.
We have two episodes, so it's tough to say, but yeah. I mean, it feels like the season's been going on for a lot longer, right?
Yeah.
From the stuff that we've seen. Yeah, I'm so happy.
But
it's
I would just think about John coming back that early, to me, just continues to build on the fact that he just has such a greater purpose than him coming back to life.
It was all a dream. He's not really alive.
I don't know if you guys read his in-depth interview with Entertainment Weekly, who was owned by the same company that owns HBO, oddly enough.
LOL. Nice try.
This is Jon Snow's biggest season, and Jon Snow is by far the most portrayed character this season. That's a fact for season 6.
After the resurrection, it's like there's nowhere to go but up with that character. It's like, right? We loved him. Loved with a capital L, perhaps all other caps too. Loved this character before he died, before he was stabbed cruelly and betrayed. We loved watching him. We felt bad for him when Catelyn was a dick to him back in season 1 and he went off to the wall, and we loved every minute of it. And now, though, there's just something extra about his character. Gets a couple extra cool points. He should wear a leather jacket because he came back from the dead, and it's that same guy. I can assume that it's going to be mostly the same John that we all love, with some really interesting insight. The character only just got more interesting, is I guess what I'm trying to say. And so it makes sense that a heavy portion of the story is on his shoulders, because these are the answers to questions that we couldn't ask without any other kind of window than what John presents into this world. He's been to the afterlife. We don't know if he has seen, if there is one, we don't know if he's seen or experienced anything there. Maybe it was just him working into his direwolf. We still don't know. So, it's kind of, it makes sense for the show to spend time on this guy, not for the least of reasons being that we love him.
That's exciting though, right?
It is.
Yeah.
The question that you asked though here too, in the questions that were posed, what's the cost for all of this, right? We're assuming that John is coming back, and it's going to be the same John that we knew as Lord Commander of the Night's Watch, as a bastard of Ned Stark. And that's not necessarily the case. Right? Only time will tell the answer to that. Has he lost any part of himself? How comparable will he be to somebody like Khal Drogo when he was brought back? Or how comparable will he be to somebody like Beric Dondarrion when he was brought back? Is it somewhere in between? Clearly, he's not in the vegetable state that Drogo was in. But
right.
Hallelujah.
Is he going to be as able-bodied as Beric Dondarrion? And so I think there's a lot of questions to be answered. And I also think there's a cost here that may live outside of Jon. I mentioned on the last episode, we don't know that when the door was opened and they all left, that one of them didn't pay the ultimate price for his resurrection, right? We know Tormund's in the future of this season. We know Davos is, but what about Melisandre? I mean, did she pay for Jon? Are we going to watch the next episode and find out that, she's dying or has died as a result of what's happened? I think that's definitely possible.
We got a comment that voted for that.
I like it.
I really hope not.
Why not?
Because I think that there's other people who we could put in that slot of death pays for life, and there's other people we could fit in there that makes me feel better than Melisandre.
You want to see Melisandre live.
I absolutely want to see Melisandre live. I mean, after we've seen what she's been through and how incredible she's been in these first two episodes, I absolutely want to see her. I just feel like, obviously she's more powerful, and I just love this, that she resurrected Jon herself. And, there's questions about what went into that, what sort of magic or God went into that. But I mean, she did it herself. And I am excited to see what that means for her as a character, as she, I assume, continues to be with John. I would think that she's going to stick to him going forward.
So how do you guys think John was resurrected then?
Please.
You think please was the secret?
I think ultimately if Melisandre had not been praying over him and doing whatever she was doing to clean his wounds, whatever, I think that was it definitely had something to do with it. Whether it was the Red God or not, Melisandre's emotions, I think, played a key role. Her willingness to do it, to perform the ceremony, it wouldn't have happened if she hadn't been there over his body. I think that much is sure for me.
What do you think his cost will be?
It's possible that she will die. I would love, in a perfect world, I would love to see her watch him, the resurrected Jon Snow, at Winterfell fighting like she saw in the flames. That to me would be Melisandre redeemed, is like, you know, you've doubted yourself for all this time. You said, I saw him in the fire fighting at Winterfell. Now I don't know what to think. If she actually gets to see that happen one day, that would be really awesome. But then again, I also think, well, if it wasn't the Red God, and if it was sort of Mary Maz Duras type of God, where I'm not quite sure if they weren't the same at all.
They could be.
But where it's only death pays for life and then somebody has to drop dead, I can see that being Melisandre. I really can. So I'm just kind of, it could go either way.
We had a lot of comments that suggested Stannis' life given, Shireen's life given, were sort of precursors. Baelon Greyjoy in the same episode as this were sort of like ethereal cosmic mathematics in Jon's favor coming back.
It was Walda's baby.
Oh, God.
I hope so.
Too soon for that.
I don't know if there necessarily needs to be a cost, because what I've been trying to think about, and maybe you guys know the answer, is when Thoros brought Beric back, was there a cost
Which
for
time?
That? Any of the times. I don't, maybe it's just something that hasn't been mentioned or that I forgot about, but I don't think there was necessarily a cost other than something to Beric's personality.
Right, he does say, I feel like less and less of myself comes back every time. But that's interesting, because is it being replaced by something, or is it just not making it fully back? I mean, presumably all that happens
is he just not good at his job.
Yeah.
He can't get the full thing back. Mirror,
like,
drinking too much.
Yeah.
That is sort of a different magic entirely than the only death can pay for life, because Thoros presumably just sort of hunches over the dead body and it's like, dear Lord, Raylor, save this man, please. You know, he says the incantation, but then all of a sudden he comes back just like that. It did seem to be like it didn't cost a darn cent.
And isn't that what Melisandre did, basically?
Yeah.
It was similar. I mean, it was, she said please the same that Thoros said. So yeah. I think that they're very, 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 very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And so personally, that's what I think the cost will be. If someone doesn't die, which would be a strange thing, we don't have any promotional photos of Melisandre from next episode, so that's a possibility. But if someone doesn't die, and in the next episode we can meet an entirely new Jon Snow, one that has lost some of his humanity, or maybe is devoid of certain aspects of his personality.
Or maybe he knows everything.
Thought this as well, and he could know everything.
It'd be an interesting thing to act for Kit. Be like, okay, be yourself, but don't be charming anymore.
Well, maybe he's charming, but we're thinking the possibility of a Jon Snow that is, I don't want to say necessarily ruthless, but that is hell-bent on finishing his goal. Mm. What Mike has been saying for like a year now.
What's that?
He seems like the kind of guy that would definitely say, my oath is fulfilled. You killed me.
Yeah.
All right? I'm not going to stay here any longer.
I'm definitely all for that. Part of the story where his oath is fulfilled.
And he just goes wild.
As I've been saying for a year.
So is that what you think the cost is for John, though, Mike? You think that it's going to be, or for the resurrection, that it's going to be part of John's character?
It could be. I mean, I believe that it also could be Melisandre. I believe that it just, to me, the fact that it's always been reiterated at points on the show that only death can pay for life, and that just goes to the larger question of how John was brought back, right? I mean, there's that moment with Davos and Melisandre prior to where he's coercing her into doing this. And he has that line, seven gods, drowned gods, tree gods, it's all the same. So if it really is all the same, is it a god who's making this happen, or is it just existence, some form of magic? So, like, was John really dead? Mm-hmm. You know, what it's often said about the wall, like there's some magic, right? That really
in the wall
surrounds it or is inside of it. There's just so many questions here tying back into John's lineage, right? He's Stark and Targaryen potentially. I mean, that's like the ultimate combination of
bad. At least for the show.
Ice and fire. Like
the logos are concerned.
Yeah. So I just think there's a lot of unanswered questions, but the cost, I think, is maybe something that we'll learn throughout the course of this season, or maybe there is no cost. Maybe he's been brought back and
till his task is done.
Yeah, there doesn't always have to be. I don't see why there does, but we'll find out.
Well, the magic is very real because in the same episode, we saw Bran grasping the roots of a gnarled tree, traveling into the past of his father and family.
Yeah.
So,
and if Bran is the one who finds out the truth about Jon, is it now his quest to search out Jon and make sure that he knows the truth?
Oh, gosh, this season's going to be good.
I think there's a lot of questions about Bran. I mean, something I've been thinking a lot about is there's got to be more to him than just these visions that he's having about like Tower of Joy and about who Jon is. And so some sort of quest. I don't know.
I mean, Bran's the guy. We know that Bran's the MVP. We learned the exact percentage of rarity he is in being a green seer. And so having his warging capabilities so powerful and having his seer capabilities so powerful. I mean, we know the reason that he has this relationship and that he was brought there by the Three-Eyed Raven. But how he will play specifically into this, I don't know, this head of life and death when they're kind of coming together is going to be, it's curious, you know what I mean? Because this hasn't happened in this world yet. We don't know. We've not had this large of a conflict, the one that is actually coming, take place in the histories that are written in this world, you know? So it's going to be interesting. But I obviously, he's going to be one of the guys, right? He's got to be one of the guys.
He's got to be the guy.
The good guys or the bad guys?
See, that's the question. I don't know.
Is there a good guy and is there a bad guy in Game of Thrones? So let's be real.
I think there's life and death.
Ned was good.
There's light and dark. And Jon just got brought back from the dead. And White Walkers are obviously brought back from the dead.
I think Jon is good. I think there are characters you can classify as good characters. I do.
Hodor.
I know it's hard. Hodor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. I also think there's just a lot of gray area.
Well, Arthur Dayne's a good character, and he's going to fight Ned Stark next week. So,
And he's going to die. So we're spending a lot of time here talking about the wall and Jon and Bran beyond the wall, but there's a lot going on a little bit south of the wall, a little bit of patricide.
A little bit of patricide in my
puppy
life.
Chow.
Walda dead.
Lou Bega.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But yeah.
Please keep going.
This also ties into Jon because we know that, at least we hope that now that he is back, he is going to look to reclaim Winterfell to, you know, reunite with Sansa and protect her. For all he knows, she's still his captive. And by that, I mean Ramsay's. And so I think that, you know, we're trending towards, and the previews prove that, a bit of a showdown, right, between Jon, any lingering members of the Night's Watch that want to rally behind him, the Wildlings, some of the houses of the North that remain loyal to the Starks, and then what appears to be the Boltons, the Umbers, the Karstarks, and the Manderleys. So, man, it's going to be a potential epic battle coming down the line. You're going to have some characters reuniting that haven't seen each other in six seasons.
What does it mean if Sansa makes it to Castle Black? Apart from the internet breaking. And
they hug.
All of us fainting.
We all faint and cry.
I think that she will, though. I think that she'll make it to Castle Black before Jon decides to leave.
Do you think it's going to be like an envoy then that goes to what we saw as being Bear Isle?
Yeah.
It'll be so, like Davos and Jon and Sansa?
I'm not sure. What I think that to me, the key to this question is who Ramsay has or who the gift for Ramsay is and what that gift is, because I think that that is going to be a motivating factor for if it's Rickon, like some people are theorizing, then I think that that's going to be the motivating factor to act on getting Winterfell back, because I think that John or Sansa making it up to the wall with John doesn't create this necessarily fire to immediately react. But I think that knowing that they have Rickon is going to somehow set it in motion, and whatever they end up doing, whether John and Davos and Sansa stay together as they try to rally the North or whether they split up, I don't really know. But I think that that's going to be the piece that falls to get them back to Winterfell.
I do not want it to be Rickon, the gift.
Yeah, I definitely don't want the gift to be
Rickon. Do not. No.
What do you guys think? I mean, what do you guys think it could be?
I think that it's probably Rickon.
That's different than wanting it to be Rickon.
Yeah, that is. It's a slight difference there.
Man.
Could it be a tarred? Could it be a tarred farm boy that was burned to, and then they say it's Rickon?
Maybe.
Or would that be too circular?
It wouldn't be a very good gift. Ramsay wouldn't buy into that.
Yeah, if he didn't get to flay him himself.
Yeah.
We had Jeff Lightfoot write on our Facebook wall a list of possible gift ideas for Ramsay other than Rickon Stark. So I'm just going to read these, and then we can discuss. The first one is Theon, which I think is another plausible or interesting
choice. I have to concede that it's possible.
Sorry, Eric. He's headed in that direction.
Let's root for Theon, right, Micah?
Yeah.
Well, Theon was dumb enough to leave the company of Sansa and Brienne and Podrick, so I don't know how I'm going to feel if he gets his ass captured again.
Hold on a second, Eric. Are you saying that Theon's decision to leave the protection of his awesome squad, one of the best squads we've seen,
best squads
put together so
besides
far
ours
in the series, is disheartening you toward him? Maybe you're getting a little cold toward
him. And I know I came off as cold just there, but I just have to say that I think it's simply ill-advised. Considering his father doesn't even like him, what is their really home? What is that for him when he gets to Pike? We know what's there. We know what's going on there and going to happen there this season, but
Kingsmoot. What if he goes up for the king's
he's
spot?
I think he's out of the running for the surviving male heir, considering he can't bear children.
But wouldn't you think that whatever's at the Iron Islands is better for him than what's in Winterfell? With
the problem
guilt
for me, like possibly, but the problem for me is getting there. He's not going to be able to get there. He's going to have to pass through all of the men that, right, unfortunately, to this point, he has not done a great job of evading. It just seems like he's throwing himself right back into the lion's den.
Plus, everyone in the North calls him Theon Turncloak for what he did to the Starks.
So there's that. Yeah, the North doesn't like him all that much, and it's not advisable for him to go out alone, let alone even if it were with a small group. Just go where they're going, dude. Like, take the Black and all of your crimes will be forgiven anyway. So there were a couple other ways I would go if it were me, but I certainly hope the gift is not Theon, because that would be unfortunate.
Take the Black. I mean, I don't know if that's a viable option.
John
is there. He's not a Night's Watch Lord Commander anymore. So, I mean, he could take out Longclaw and just freaking stab him right through the heart.
Oh,
so
gosh.
What exactly would John have against Theon in particular?
Killing his whole family.
Killing his family?
Because hold on, let's see who we can actually pin this on.
Theon?
How could you not pin this on Theon? Like, in what way can you?
He betrayed Rob.
Yeah, I'm listening.
This is old school goo. I love it.
He betrayed Rob.
Rob. What else is there? That set everything into
so
motion.
So many other people betrayed Rob, though.
Okay,
and
he laid siege to Winterfell.
If we can erase Rob's death, if we can erase Rob's death and Catelyn's death from Theon's conscience,
Winterfell. He seized Winterfell, and he grew up there.
Presumably,
and he
killed
a lot
died
of randos.
Yeah.
He chopped off Roger.
No, presumably. People
I'm trying
died
to think of, you know, he made
Roderick
a mistake. Okay, there's no way John wouldn't cut off his head. All right, I get it.
All right. Remember Roderick?
Yes, I remember
Sir Roderick. And the hack job that came along with it.
Oh, sad.
And the two farm boys that he killed.
So Theon must die because he's really just got no place to go.
Well, that's probably why he'll live.
Yeah, death would be merciful for him. Exactly.
And that's how the Game of Thrones works.
Everybody. But I think he'll make it back to Pyke.
Same.
So he's not the gift.
But
I think that's a good contender, even if we think he's going to make it back to Pyke. The next on Jeff Lightfoot's list for gift ideas would be a Manderly Umber Karstark army. Interesting.
It's quite a gift.
Especially to cover with a cloak like that.
Right.
Or a tarp. It's a like whole army under a tarp.
It's like a bullhorn that he can start commanding the army with under there.
Yeah.
Number three, a new puppy.
He'd love
there's
that.
Plenty of dogs.
Pretty sure he'd feed it to the other puppies. Check it.
Number four would be fake Arya, like from the books. Which is an interesting
That is interesting. Thought.
Let's see. Number five, outdated info about Jon Snow's murder, which would be awesome for us because Ramsay would probably celebrate and we would know the answer and feel smug about that.
That would be cool.
Number six is interesting. Captive Littlefinger. Where is Littlefinger? I miss
him. I've been waiting to see where he how he pops up in this season.
Me too.
The last we knew, he was basically getting his blessing, the blessing from the crown to call the Banners of the Vale. So
against the Boltons.
Yeah. Well, he's playing all sides, so against whoever he wants to be against at the moment.
Number seven, the dogs who ran away in episode one.
Well, they kind of just disappeared, but
we found these for you. And lastly, number eight, a best big brother ever bib to give to his new baby brother, which is just cruel.
Yeah.
I don't think so, Jeff.
Those are tough, Jeff.
I don't know.
What about if you brought Ramsay the Horn of Winter?
Oh, God. I can't think of any one person I'd rather not have that that awesome piece of history. He doesn't deserve it.
He doesn't deserve
and
it.
He would not understand the full implications of taking the wall down.
It has to be Rickon.
I think it has to be Rickon.
And it would be huge shock value too, right? For those who are not
those who forgot about Rickon, aka all of us.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll never forget.
I really wonder what that means for Osha as well, for what she's up to.
I just can't think of anything that is as big as Rickon would be.
Hodor. I mean, he's as big as Rickon.
He is as big as Rickon.
Couple of Rickons.
That's a pretty good joke.
What about a Valyrian steel sword? I brought this sword for you, my lord.
Maybe.
Take down all your enemies.
I wonder what kind of gifts that he's going to shower.
I just think that Ramsay is going to continue to win big for a little while. And he's going to
go down so hard.
Yeah, I think that eventually all these things are going to catch up to him. Like his dad said. Can't remember the exact quote right now. But I think that we have some time before we see him go down.
We would now like to take this opportunity and ask you, what sort of gifts could be given to Ramsay in next week's episode? No gift is too great or too small.
it's a subscription to a Jelly of the Month club.
Ooh.
Mm.
Marmalades.
Zach, will you pass the schmallows?
Schmallows?
Marshmallows.
Oh, the marshmallows. Yeah. They're over here.
These schmallows are so good.
You know, I really like putting double chocolate on these. You guys ever done that?
Oh, no. It's all about the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
You've done that before? Did you bring it? I like the white chocolate ones.
I brought a ton of Reese's to share.
Who's got the graham
crackers? Hannah.
We're glad that you all have joined us around this warm and cozy fire. We're going to be out here all season.
You can really see the stars tonight, guys.
Do you hear the wolf howling?
I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's Nymeria?
It could be.
Eric brought three pop-up tents.
Yes, one of us will have to share.
We're in a little just a small little valley outside of a large tournament. We're hoping to gain entry tomorrow. But before we do,
pass the satchel and let's read some ones.
Morgan Crack Heath. Gotta give the own to the gasp. Hashtag welcome back. Sydney Nugent. Own to Walls, responsible for two gruesome deaths via Giant and the Mountain. Hashtag Brickwalled.
Brickwalled.
Yep. Rob McDonald, Own to Tyrion and Varys. I tell eunuch jokes. You tell dwarf jokes. I don't ever. I don't tell dwarf jokes. You think them. It's a heck of an accusation.
Look who it is. Dolorous Beagle writes, with apologies to Walda and Son, those crazy always tweets about
dogs killing people. Owns.
Well, look at their handle.
Dolorous
crazy hounds own again. Hashtag puppy chow Winterfell. Oh. Ricky Young with a star in his name. Own goes to the dude in King's Landing. Jamie Lannister's half an inch short of an inch.
Al Matta tweeted in to 1-1 for using a rebel Night's Watch brother as a human fly swatter. Very good. Al Brittany says, Own goes to Varys for the look of what the fuck shit to Tyrion as he goes to free the dragons. Louis-Philippe Pilon over on Facebook says, my own goes to Lyanna fucking Stark. No, wait. My own goes to Jaime for threatening that asshole High Sparrow. No, wait. My own goes to Ramsay for doing exactly what I predicted. No, wait. My own goes to Tyrion for being a fearless little dragon lover. No, wait. Anyway, you get my point. That was one of the greatest episodes in the series. Own to everyone. I'm still shaking. But Lyanna fucking Stark, though. My girl judged me so hard when I went apeshit.
Back on Twitter, Amazing Spider Menu. Great. And at Manicular Bomb says, Own goes to Kit Harington's hair for being the key to resurrection.
We always knew it would be.
We always knew. And then hashtag unfinished business on Twitter. My own goes to Davos for being the goat and getting Mel to do her thing. At Mr. Crimson 99, Own to the director for making me think that Roose had stabbed Ramsay at first. Also to Tyrion for being better at dragons than Quentin.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Insert Quentin gif.
Weird from Jenny B. Own goes to Tyrion for his How to Train Your Dragon moment. Quote, don't eat the help. Brian Sanderford owned a ghost for sleeping through the ceremony. Hashtag boring. Hashtag get out of my room.
He did
when you know ghost
is
asleep, that's when it's not going well.
Ghost was totally bored to death.
Yeah, but that smile, so pretty.
It was a nice smile. Mara at Queenslayer on Twitter. Gosh, that's good. Own goes to Davos for whipping out Longclaw like a badass.
Mm-hmm.
And Brendan Quinn at Mighty Quinner, my own goes to Damfair for crushing Yara's dreams.
Aaron!
At L Alexandria, my own goes to hashtag Melisandre because when all else fails, just say please.
It works wonders.
Andy Rodriguez, my own goes to Jaime Lannister, who directs the king, go and see your mother, Tommen. I found this interesting and nobody is talking about its significance. I think after Jaime felt what it's like to be actually recognized positively as a father by Marcella, he has decided to play more of the fatherly role to his only living son. I actually thought the same thing, Andy. And he goes on to say, he didn't say your grace or my king. He straight up spoke to him like a dad. That was very cool to see. Very cool
to
see.
That's a cool point. I didn't pick up on that.
I didn't either. That's awesome.
At Cowgirl Bookworm, owned to Melisandre for having a crisis of faith and not even knowing she came through in the end.
Yep.
Will she know?
I think
she'll
know.
Be dead.
Jack Sauer over on Facebook, own goes to the Lannister Gar's sigh of relief when they knew they wouldn't need to fight the zombie mountain.
Those eyes.
Joshua Fought over on Twitter, owned to Davos for continuing to be the best motivational speaker in the land. Do work, Davos. Do work.
Do work.
Mamba says, Own goes to Podrick trying to light the campfire. Hashtag the best squire ever.
It's a good flint. They want that in Survivor.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking how good that flint was. It sparked every time.
Guy Patag on Twitter, this week is hard, but my own goes to the brick walls for causing an abrupt stop. Hashtag another brick in the wall. Hashtag headbanging action.
Clever. Mm-hmm.
On Facebook, Sneha, so many incredible moments. For sentimental reasons, my own goes to the Stark sisters. Sansa now knows that Arya is alive and pulling a Mulan somewhere. Hashtag Stark reunion. Hashtag be a man. Hashtag my babies.
My babies.
Be a man.
And then Lewis Birch on Twitter, my own goes to 1-1 for making a Night's Watch brother a pancake.
Mm. Love the smell of pancakes in the twilight.
More of a crepe.
Wenda the White Fawn tweets in, so many owns! First to Davos for the locker room pep talk. Hashtag fuck Raylor. Hashtag how Mel got her groove back. Josh Schroeder So many choices for Owens tonight, but I have to give my own to Tyrion for unchaining the dragons. Hashtag I drink and I know things. And an email from Nick Hartley, who, by the way, does not. So, he says, not surprising, my own goes to Euron Greyjoy, the first storm and the last. I love how comfortable he looked on that bridge. Fucking train. Give me a sec.
Longest train ever.
Right? I know, right? Remaining. The own train. I love how comfortable he looked on that bridge, despite the driving wind and rain, like a man who's never left the life at sea. I know it's just the first sampling, but I'm hopeful Euron brings back a little of that Oberyn Martell swag to the show. And on Twitter again, Emily Rutherford, my own goes to Davos, because he believes in even the weakest of characters. Okay.
Eric, you don't approve of that one, do you?
I gotta ask for follow-up, but I'll do that on my time.
Meredith Lewis writes, own goes to Melisandre for finally opening that barbershop she always wanted to. Hashtag a cut and a shave. Jake Ponser, my own goes to Melisandre, obviously, and to the director, Jeremy Podeswa, in the last scene. It was the biggest cock tease since the bad pussy sand snake last season.
Yep.
Hashtag Wooly Dub writes, my own goes to Azor Ahai for making his debut on the show this evening. Hashtag what is dead may never die.
Fuck.
Funny, Jason. Funny, Jason.
Good.
Jennifer Anderson Khan, aside from all the obviously amazing scenes, my own goes to the Children of the Forest upgraded look. Hashtag before and after.
Not to mention there are Children of the Forest in the last episode.
Yep.
Dragon.
Two parts rye. Own to Willis, Nan, 1-1, Franken Mountain, and John Effin' Snow for helping forget that Ramsay fed Walda and her baby to the dogs. Yeah.
Too true.
I didn't forget.
Elizabeth Bird tweeted in, besides John's resurrection, my own goes to Tyrion. Quote, next time I have an idea like that, punch me in the face. Hashtag good advice.
Great advice.
And then Megan on Twitter, own to Tyrion the Dragon Tamer. Also, for the Princess Bride feels I got when Melisandre was cleaning Jon in the pit of despair.
He's not all the way dead.
He's only mostly dead.
Mostly dead.
Mostly dead.
Rowan Abbott on Twitter, my own goes to all the short flashback scene of Ned, Benjen, and Lyanna. Seriously, way too short. I need much more of her.
Please.
Yeah.
And then Scott Pressman, own goes to Tyrion and his crash course in dragon taming for dummies.
Jen Calhoun, own to Tormund for somehow resisting giving Ollie the rattle shirt treatment. The fuck you doing charging an ad in Tormund, bro? That's for sure. That is an own. Self-control gets most of our owns. Mm-hmm. Oscar, my own goes to Tyrion for acquiring two badass bodyguards.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Brienne of Tarth, Euron owned Baelon. Ramsay, I can't even say it. John's going to own some bitches next week.
I miss Molly Evans writes, obvious own to Melisandre for her amazing healing touch. Hashtag, is that covered by the Night's Watch insurance plan?
They're going
to
be paying that off for years.
Paulak Joseph at Citadel writes, my own goes to Euron. People pray to him. He's the first and the last storm, and also the righteous king of Westeros.
We'll see about that.
Joe Ludwigson, own to Ed for putting the actual traitors where they should be. Don't worry, hashtag ghost kills, I'm fixing it for him. Don't worry, hashtag ghost kills Ollie 2K16 should still be a thing.
Thank you.
Hashtag get hype. Oh, and a sneaky side own to Sir Robert Strong. Because reasons. Big, scary reasons. Oh, edit to add. Own to Christian Nairn and that perfect look of momentary recognition that flickered through his eyes and across his face when Bran called him by his actual name. It was beautiful acting. I need all of Hodor's origin story now.
That was a really great moment.
Bimo tweeted in, my own goes to Tormund for not killing Ollie and granting us an appropriately painful and terrible death for him in the future.
Oh, man. Please read that next.
You guys want to see a terrible death? I just want to see him crushed by rocks, like, just by accident, almost. Like, oops, or she'd slip and fall down the stairs.
That Super Quintendo says, own goes to Franken Mountain for the 2-second KO.
One shot.
Chris Miracle, also, own goes to David and Dan for ending Hair Watch on the screen.
Hair Watch. Yes.
Hashtag, and trim that scraggly beard.
Oh, Hair Watch.
John Webster, I can't believe my own isn't going to the final scene, but Tyrion's, quote, don't eat the help line, an entire scene. takes the cake.
Mm-hmm.
At Ray underscore Rooney says, own to your own crow's eye for being cool as fuck.
On Facebook, Heather Brechtolt says, my own goes to Davos for giving Melisandre the pep talk of the century that allowed us to have Jon Snow back.
Does he have to be?
Brad Pike on Twitter, own to D&D for making an episode as rich with storyline as the visuals were stunning. Top three episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Taryn the Black for Sir Robert, sending Cersei's regards to the pissing peasant.
Well, we heard from Justin from Brooklyn. I'm going to put this one back in the bag where it came from. Own goes to Jon Snow's hair, body, and bulge.
Bulging muscles, right?
No, Justin knows what Justin knows.
This is going into the fire. Kevin A, next one here.
You got to read his username. Come on, look at that shit.
TacoMan945
mm-hmm.
on Twitter says, my own goes to, who the hell am I kidding? Jon Snow is back. Hashtag Game of Thrones, hashtag Jon Snow will rise. And at Fitzy Brendan says, own of the episode, finally a live action vision of Lyanna Stark, and it owned all my feels.
At Southern Bell VA, Jocelyn writes, own to own goes to Gendry and Melisandre. That third leech finally paid off.
Bell and Greyjoy.
Oh my
Andrew
God.
Herbs, own of the episode has to go through the line from Tormund to Ser Alistair.
Until you.
Hmm. Yeah, for him to turn out to be the Lord Commander or whatever that it falls under is just so funny. Neff Curry writes, own, first own ever, by the way, to 1-1 because walls.
Hmm. Illyrio Dukakis has a great username.
This is my favorite.
Own to Bran, Hodor, and Mira for casually leaving the cave through the back door for a smoke break and not getting whited.
Yep. Seriously.
Layla says, I would like to rescind the own I once gave to the person that would kill Roose Bolton. Hashtag no own for you.
Rescinding owns, I respect that.
I respect that also.
Lady Liana at the Wolf Maid, can I choose the episode as a whole owning me? I was just on a bona fide emotional roller pastry.
Hot pie is coming back.
That sounds
back
delicious.
Yeah.
It does. Amy Calhoun, owned to Davos for being the voice of the fans. Hey, Mel, quick question. Know any magic that can bring Jon back to life?
Okay, thanks.
Nathan Larson, owned goes to Tyrion for having a couple dragons for friends. Hashtag friends by association. Hashtag I am a friend of a friend.
Oh my God, these owns keep getting better. Carrie Klein, owned to Melisandre for remembering the magic word. Hashtag please. I love that, by the way. And same own is owned to Davos for reminding us that you never know until you try.
Yeah.
Aww. On Twitter, at SteakSandwich1, my own to Mofo Davos. Yes, he's dead, but does he have to be? Best lawyer question ever. Hmm.
The council
and,
resides.
Yeah, and on Facebook, Josh Mason, owned to not his old man. Owned to not as old Nan for not letting her son become a warrior. Hashtag smart mom. Hashtag broken men. Hashtag Septon Maribald.
Callie Marks writes, owned to the Ironborn for knowing what's up. Hashtag what is dead may never die. Guys.
What is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die.
Hashtag John rises again harder and stronger.
John rises again harder and stronger.
That bulge of him is harder and stronger.
Oh, God.
Bulge of his.
Kathy Theato. So many great moments, but own to Willis. I want more of his story. Philippe Belief. My own goes to Melisandre because Granny is on fire.
More like great, great, great Granny.
Great, great, great.
Scoop
great,
Emily great, says, own goes to Ghost, who definitely smiled when he realized John was coming back. Same ghost, same.
Oh.
Hashtag Jon Snow lives. Alex I'm Panic. Now. The story finally owned Balin. Mel's leeches are batting 1,000.
Seriously.
Maya Pozzolo over on Facebook. Hodor is Willis. Tyrion is a badass dragon friend. And Jon Snow is back. Also, own to the campfire for owning Podrick. And own to all the mentions of our dear friend Benjen Stark. Hashtag what is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die.
Hashtag Jon Snow for Maybelline.
Maybe he's born with it.
Hashtag the three heads of the dragon.
Peter Pelesny on Twitter. Ghost. He's a great representation of why direwolves are man's best friend. Friends till the end, Aww. But and after death. Marcy Wofford, owned to Tyrion Lannister, first of his name, breaker of chains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More like unhooker of chains, okay? But yeah, I'm with you on that.
And then Neb Obrakis on Twitter, how about the theme of giants smashing peons against a wall?
I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Ian Timms, owned for Bran. Owned for Bran's Han Solo-like ability to understand your sidekick's poor speech impediment. Chewie, I know! I'm fixing it! Nirav Gandhi, my own goes to Euron for literally calling himself a god and shoving the king off a bridge.
Yeah,
that was pretty badass.
Sounds like something Kanye would do.
It was pretty
Aaron
badass.
Hillier, owned to Cersei and Sir Robert Strong for making the most disturbing buddy pair since Theodore Rex. Tom Bauer, own goes to whichever wildling carried that punk Ollie to the cells. Hashtag hero.
He was gripping
say,
tightly.
Somebody on Watchers, and I can't remember who it was, started calling Ollie that potato Ollie. I just can't stop thinking about it.
That so, potato Ollie.
I needed to throw that in there while we're talking about Ollie.
Mikey Mann 32 writes, own goes to that salty tear from Melisandre, waking the chosen one among salt and smoke. Whoa. Hashtag Azor Ahai. Brandon Schaltzik writes, my own goes to the janitors in Westeros for the overtime they need to put in to get the brain splatter off the brick walls. Hashtag scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub. Laura Riley writes, own goes to Kit, David, and Dan for doubling down so hard on a lie I started to actually doubt the inevitable.
Mm. Good point.
Chad Sentman, own to the on-screen return of Benjen Stark. Hashtag still pissed at Ollie. Matthew Lunt, my own goes to Ramsay, taking the mantle of Joffrey 2.0.
Yep.
Stephanie Flores, own to Tyrion for calming the dragons with no sudden movements. Story time.
My favorite.
At Blue Winter Rose 1 on Twitter, that just made up for Dorne. Well, almost. Ramsay still sucks. Hashtag Jon Targaryen. Hashtag Lyanna. Hashtag promise me Ned. Hashtag ghost is coming for you, Ollie, 2016.
Man. Michelle 33, owned to Ramsay for officially taking the title of worst person ever from Melisandre and Joffrey. Hashtag the dogs are full already. Hashtag psycho.
Hashtag well fed.
Amanda Buchner, owned to Tyrion being way smarter about things than Quentin. And yeah. T. Hauser on Twitter, my own goes to 1-1 and one good thwack.
1-1 and one good thwack. Nice. Nice, nice, nice. Adam Epps, my own is for Kit Harington for finally getting his haircut. Samantha Parker, owned to 1-1 for smashing good time up at Castle Black. Hashtag giant party.
Big old party.
Ain't no party like a giant party. Cameron Ross, my own ghost brand, when he was sitting in the snow posing for Playboy or waiting for Jack to draw him like one of his French girls.
Draw hey, man, like one of your French girls.
That's just
totally
how Hodor set him down,
that.
Okay?
I had the same thought when I rewatched.
It's actually
I
Hodor's
laughing.
Laugh. Hodor's having all of the fun. There and Lady Peterson on Twitter, own goes to Ghost for waking John up. First time any dog owner will be happy to have their dog wake them up from eternal death.
I'd like that.
What is dead may never die with dogs?
What is dead may never,
what
die?
Is dead may never die?
I love
this. Getting exhausted.
Amanda Swenson, my own goes to Tormund for walking into Castle Black like he owned the place. Santiago Sanchez, own goes to Ed for rallying the troops and saving Davos and the Dream Team. Stephanie Magnino Holmes, owned to Ramsay. I like being an only child. Hashtag shivers down my spine. Ashley Knapp, moan goes to Varys' face when Tyrion walks down the steps to free the dragons. Jacob Vassar, owned to Euron for being fashionably late to the Game of Thrones. Hashtag subtitles needed. And Christopher Clow, owned to Ramsay for being the craziest kid on the block. I kind of like being an only child.
Andrea Walker tweeted in, my own goes to Roose for his final words. You act like a mad dog. You get treated like a mad dog. Hashtag Ramsay prophecy, question mark. Liz Flynn, owned to excellent manners, paramount in Westeros, even if not always effective. Quote, please, begged Bran, Red Woman, and Walder Frey.
Three pleases.
Three witches in episode one, three pleases in episode two.
Travis Check,
witch please.
Owned to 1-1 for dusting off that crow that was poking him on the shoulder. Robert Miller over on Facebook, my own and hilarious moment goes to 1-1. Really nice watch guy. Did you really think that Arrow was going to do something? 1-1 Trump 2016. 1-1 would have had that wall built in a week.
Yeah.
Ben Flood on Twitter. Own goes to dramatic tension between not knowing if it was Ramsey or Roose who stabbed the other. # cut the tension with a knife. On Facebook, Andrew Palmer. Own goes to Balon for finally getting a scene away from that fireplace. And anti-own to all the Kinslayers over the past 2 episodes. There's been a ton of them.
Oathbreakers.
And then Matt on Twitter. Aside from John and Pike's fan service, that flashback owned the episode. It was so good I almost drowned.
Kristen. My own goes to everything that made me forget Ramsey fed Walda and his baby brother to the dogs. What a bastard. Own to the dragons for not burninating Tyrion. Angela
word.
Birmingham. Own to Tyrion for not pissing himself in the face of scaly, fiery death. And Marcus LaBey. Own to the mountain for that epic head smash.
He's had some practice.
Steve Dugan writes, only 10 minutes in and own to Children of the Forest. Or Mira for giving the boys snazzy shaves and haircuts. They were differently groomed. Jesse Cardella, owned to John, who made the exact same noise I made at the end of this episode.
Seriously.
Andrew Eiffold, my own goes to Ramsey Bolton, surely in contention for Son of the Year and Big Brother of the Year. Tongue in cheek.
At the Razzies, maybe.
Kristen Keys, my own goes to that poor chap who had his brain smashed by the new and improved mountain. # ouched.
R.L. Phoenix Esquire says, own to Davos for his napalm line, quote, I've never been much of a fighter, pull sword, so I apologize for what you're about to see.
That's fire.
Davos is keeping the show kid-friendly here.
Mm-hmm. Chris Newman, own goes to the hounds from last episode who got the memo from Ramsey and decided to head on home to make it back in time for La Dindin. Ramsey's hounds? They have the meats.
They have the meats.
Buffalo Sports Fan 90, my own goes to Ollie's underpants that will save him from shitting himself next week.
No, they won't.
And Ali Alport, for sure the biggest own of this episode, goes to Tormund for finally smacking down Alistair Thorne. Castle Black has held against the wildlings for thousands of years. Until you. # worst Lord Commander. Ever.
Darwin Esteb on Twitter, own goes to everyone who came up with the elaborate ways Jon Snow would come back. Who knew that it would be a hair and beard trim?
I'd imagine if you cut it all off.
Oh, Katie Sigmund, own goes to Tyrion's dreams of one day having a dragon before him. # when you wish upon a star, # dreams do come true.
That's cute.
Joshua Lee Watson, own goes to young Ned saying the same thing as Jon. Keep your shield up or I'll ring your head like a bell. # Benjen beats Ollie.
Amy Pfeiffer, also to Tyrion, quote, I drink all the time if I lost my cock, at Grey Worm, meaning no offense. He has all the best lines. I agree. Jeff Hudson, so many owns. Owned to Tyrion, showing his inner Targaryen, wink wink, and owned to Rhaelor for bringing back the Chosen One.
The Chosen One?
The Chosen One, huh. Samantha Bice, owned to Bran suddenly looking like a hottie. # how old is he now? Also owned to those very loaded. Yeah, right. Also owned. Hey, everything's on the table here. This is, we pride ourselves on our variety at Game of Bones. Owned to those very loaded Hodors after the flashback. Seriously, how does he pack so much into one word?
Practice.
It's the magic of Christian Narn and practice. Owned to John Spa Day, Red Woman style. # please don't cut off any more hair of his hair. Also, # first own. # long time listener. Thank you, Samantha Bice, and welcome.
Chrissy Kellogg, no relation to the cereal. My own goes to Tyrion. He made his childhood dream come true. Love it. Kush writes, we almost got owned by a tornado during Game of Thrones, but kept watching from the basement on my phone.
That's
#
wild.
Tornadoes hate Jon Snow. # it is known. At Black Madness 317, owned to Frank and Gregor for silently defending Cersei's honor. # what is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die.
Tom Rodriguez, own goes to Lady Olenna, and I suppose Mace Tyrell, for being the last surviving original heads of the 7 major houses.
Jordan D. Mertens, okay, I think own goes to Rhaegal and Viserion for not killing Tyrion. # friend of the mother of dragons. # home. # dragon tales. Molly Raisley, my own goes to Hannah. Because for a second I thought we'd all get what she and I so desperately want. # ghost kills Ollie 2K16.
I definitely didn't add this own into this list.
Yeah.
Hodgedog. Owned to Ramsay for killing Roose, making me the first in my group of friends to lose a character from my season 6 death list.
Drink.
Drink, drink, drink. Carrie Klein, my own, does not go to the Boltons for treating their women like nothing more than pieces of meat. Hashtag the hounds are full. And Owned to Varys for a quote, no, you go ahead. I'll stay here and watch the door.
Christy Engel Wooster, own for Jon Snow, world champ of the I can hold my breath the longest game. Gil Pound, own Varys silence after Tyrion accuses him of thinking of a dwarf joke. Emily Levesque, my own for this episode goes to please for literally being the magic word. David Leopard, my own goes to Tyrion for the greatest line ever. That's what I do. I drink and I know things.
We got a Facebook post from Jonathan Blake. Although there's tough competition, the own has to go to Melisandre, bringing back Jon Snow for the win. For the fucking win, actually. Anti-own to Roose Bolton. Maybe if your bastard son is a power-crazed, sadistic, murderous psychopath, don't make thinly veiled threats and tell him how bad he sucks right to his face all the time. ? Hashtag, the more you know.
Yeah, in retrospect, Roose.
The more you know.
Hindsight is 2020. Over on Twitter, Evan, my own goes to Euron for winning the War of the Five Kings. What an entrance. Hashtag meta own. Hashtag what is dead may never die.
What
is dead may never die.
Cole Seals, my own goes to Sansa learning that yet another sibling of hers is alive. Hashtag hope. Jackie Flynn writes, own goes to Lyanna Stark for showing the boys how it's done. And Ghost for being so chilled about resurrection.
Yeah.
Industrious social studies teacher from the Midwest, Jeff Lightfoot writes, own to that ending. Which, until I started reading Owns, made me forget that Tyrion freed the friggin' dragons.
Eric Lewis, own goes to young Ned telling young Benjen, get your shield up or I'll ring your head like a bell. John said that last season.
You know, at this point, guys, they're just reusing dialogue. It's quite lazy.
Brett Atkinson, not much of a graphic artist. Apologies for what you're about to see.
Oh.
It is a photo of Kingsmoot 2016, one yeah. Yara / Asha Greyjoy. Make the Iron Islands great again.
Love it.
Sam Buck at Stavros29, owned to Sir Roderick's mutton chops. There's a man who knows early on what he wants out of his facial hair and sticks with it.
That's perfect. That's good.
Anthony Pelecchio on Twitter, owned goes to the Child of the Forest for revealing to Mira and us that Bran will not spend his life in the cave. I hold hopes for Stark reunion, and despite his past, I hope Bloodraven didn't seduce Bran into the van cave for life.
Aww. That's creepy.
I put more owns about myself in here.
Oh, God. Okay, I'll do the honors. Susie Q tweeted in, own to Hannah. That's not suspect.
To Hannah.
For totally calling it that Davos and Mel would work together to bring Jon back. And that Mel's vulnerability was key.
I'm just saying nobody else got any owns today, so.
Nice, Hannah.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Get my own for getting the owns, Hannah.
On Twitter, William Hay, my own goes to Ed. The only traitors here are the ones who shoved their knives into the Lord Commander's heart. Hashtag awkward.
Yeah.
Second to last own. Gird your bodies. Dev Sharma writes, my own goes to Melisandre for the best barber job in all of Westeros. 10 out of 10, would recommend.
And our final own of home, episode 2, goes to Courtney Waters. Her own goes to Ramsay for throwing a Walda baby shower. Hashtag red baby shower.
Yet again, another week, another episode. Better than most. Better owns than most. How do you guys do it?
Yeah, maybe they're born with it.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
We thank you for participating and for retweeting each other's owns and for liking each other's owns. I feel like that's just community support embodied. You know, that's why we do this and why we share everything. It's just been a lot of fun seeing you guys. Like, you know, I've seen like alliances and friendships get made depending on the character of each other's owns and like what they respect from each other's owns. So well done, everyone.
I agree with that. That's really fun to watch.
It's so awesome.
I agree. And so there are any number of ways that you can submit these owns to us during the episode, after the episode, as we get ready to do our second episode of the week. And I think we read examples of all of them, right? Mm-hmm. You can tweet at us at Game of Owns, scroll upon our Facebook wall at facebook.com/Game of Owns, or shoot us an email like Nick Hartley does at contact@GameOfOwns.com.
As you are listening to this podcast, you may be doing so through several ways. You could be on that on our snazzy, fresh website, GameOfOwns.com. But it's also possible that you get this show through iTunes. And iTunes had a grandfather moment the other day. But the important thing is that if you subscribe to us, you will get the latest versions of all of our episodes as they come in. And it's not just you who are finding us on iTunes, but everyone else as well. And one way that you can be a part of that process, facilitating it, is to rate and review our show. That's Game of Owns on the iTunes Store, just under podcast, search for Game of Owns. Rate and review us and subscribe. But it's the month of May now. In fact, today is May the 4th. May the 4th be with you all. Rate us 5 stars or Chewie will pull your arms off.
That's brutal, man.
Wow, man.
Or Hodor Jeez. Will pull your arms off.
Well, the tagline is nothing less than 5 stars is acceptable.
Sorry, Mike. He's working on it. This bit. Yeah, I'm working on it. Yeah. Trying to branch out, trying to do something new.
Jazz it
and
up
we did hear
bit.
From a few new listeners who have rated Ooh. And reviewed us over on iTunes. And, for example, DC Socks 721 said, I tried listening to a few Game of Thrones podcasts for season 6, and this is definitely one I'll be keeping in my rotation. So thank you, DC Socks 721. Nick at Night 88. I used to watch Nick at Night. In-depth, entertaining, and worthy of the best show on TV right now. I guess they're talking about Game of Thrones, but they go on to say, I don't know how it took till season 6 for me to discover this podcast, but after listening to just 3 of the incredibly dedicated and informed podcasts they put out, my only regret is not listening to them in earlier seasons. If you want in-depth reviews from fans that truly know and love the Song of Ice and Fire universe and the Game of Thrones show and engage with listeners every week, I highly recommend this podcast.
That's really it,
That's
right?
Nice.
It's kind of a challenge to match the grandeur of how great Game of Thrones is, but we really do try every week and with every episode to have fun with the subject material, but also to take it seriously, because we know that you guys also want to have fun with it and to take it seriously. And man, we've just gotten a lot of reviews, and seeing our podcast so high in the charts among shows by people that are some of my, you know, people I look up to and that inspire me in life, and just to see our podcast, it's just been pretty cool past few weeks.
It's a trip. We have you guys to thank. So thank you.
We'll just read one more review here with the title Ghost Kills Ollie 2K16.
Yeah.
From Publius Americani, who says, this is by far my favorite Game of Thrones based podcast. The chemistry of the goo crew is straight out of Qyburn's lab.
Jesus.
Whether they are on or off season, I always enjoy their banter and look forward to the next episode. So thank you.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
And for those of you who don't know, we also have another podcast that you might like just as much as this one for our Patreon subscribers that we call Squad of Ice and Fire.
Or Snake Ass Goon Squad.
Depending on the day or how we feel. And we recorded one of those today before the episode. So definitely check that out when it's up on Patreon.
I think we recorded 2 today.
We recorded 2 today. We got really excited about kickball.
And recess. So. And Zach's idea for a new United States of America.
Join our squad. Please, if you like it, listen to our squad podcast. It's Hannah's favorite show. It's at patreon.com/goo.
Goo.
Goo.
Goo. What does dead may never
what
die?
What does dead may never die? So next week, Greyjoys, hopefully, please, more.
Tower of Joy.
Matters. Yeah, Tower of Joy. That's all that
Towers
matters.
Towers of Joy, Greyjoys.
Towers of Joy.
I want to see some Bronn. Where's the Bronn action? Give me some Bronn action.
I want some Bronn Snow, please.
Bronn Snow.
How about Sam? Where's he
Sam's been? Sam's going to be in the next episode.
A lot to look forward to. As we said at the top of the episode, it's a very good chance that a long-standing theory will finally be proven right.
Or wrong.
I'm so nervous.
I cannot wait until Sunday night. Sunday night is going to be, I mean, it's the episode after Jon Snow comes back to life. So if you are watching the episode at home and you have a smartphone, join us on Twitter and join everyone else that's going to be on the internet for when this happens.
And can I just say, there's no one else I'd rather be watching this with than you guys.
Aww.
That's it. That's our show.
What if dead may never die?
I'm tired of responding to that.
We can't do it.
We'll be right back.
You think it was Lady? No. Wait, no, no, she's dead. Let me try it again.
It was probably Lady. Spoiler alert, season 6.
Everyone's coming back to life, including
that's
Lady.
So bad. You guys just keep making fun of me.
Believe it.
Ready?